really outed that there's 23 kids that have died, I believe you said, in the last month. And you're looking for details of that. So tell us about this journey that you're on and what you're finding.
So there was a CBC article that came out a few days ago, and it was actually about the large number of kids who are dying from allegedly from influenza and strep A and so on. And the CBC journalist had gone and they had asked the various provincial officials, health officials, for information. And they reported back and they said that Alberta was the first province that reported back. And they had reported back with, I think it was 4 or 5 kids that had died from influenza. And for example, Ontario had refused to provide any information at all. So I think their number was something like 13. And I dug into that a little more closely, and I came up with 23. So 23 Canadian kids have died suddenly or unexpectedly in the past month, just in the past month. Now, a lot of this is being attributed to influenza. A few have been attributed to streptococcus infections that had been fatal, that shouldn't be fatal. And then there's also sudden deaths that are, you know, strange and that really no one is talking about at all. So I wanted to give you just a quick breakdown of provinces, how many deaths in each province. So in British Columbia, 6 kids have died of the flu, and I believe one of them had a strep infection as well. In Alberta, it's 6 kids, 4 from flu, 2 sudden deaths. In Manitoba, 3 kids have died, 1 from flu, 2 sudden deaths. Ontario, 4 deaths, even though the Ontario public health officials have absolutely refused to comment or release any information. So I have found 2 had died from flu and 2 had died suddenly. Quebec, 3 deaths, 2 from streptococcus. This was kids under the age of 2. 1 sudden death, a 6-year-old boy. And 1 sudden death in Nova Scotia. So for a total of 23 deaths. And what is absolutely upsetting to me is that no one is talking about this.
If you look at what the World Health Organization just talked about last week in Geneva, what you find is a very fascinating conversation. Because what they talked about is the possibility that we could actually be responding to planned epidemics. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, wow.
Planned. Not actual epidemics. And it was the United States government who amended the IHR 2005 guidelines in their proposed amendments that actually took out the fact that we at least have to have a recognized pathogen. Now it can be for a recognized or an anticipated epidemic. Wouldn't it be fascinating to just tell people that on Thursday we're thinking that it's probably going to be a swine flu, so go line up. And by the way, you're going to have this very interesting RFID chip, or you're going to have something else that's going to be embedded in. And before you go to the grocery store, before you get on a bus, before you get on a plane, before you get anywhere else, we're going to go ahead and read the chip to make sure that you're not an at-risk crazy who hasn't gotten his latest upgrade.
Oh, wow.
I'm letting people know this because until we actually realize this is a felony criminal conspiracy, this is racketeering, this is domestic terrorism, these are things for which felony laws exist.
Tell me exactly where
that's
it
where
is.
That's where it is, yeah.
Right there?
Yeah, that's where
that.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Feel that.
All right, we've got the QR and barcode scanner. Oh, look, I just picked it up. Look.
There it is.
Fucking,
that's
it. It is, eh?
Mate.
Holy
this is where I got the shot, the second shot. Look at this. It's glowing. But the worst part, look at the vein in my hand. It glows. That is sick. Why the hell is this doing this?
The audacity of what they're doing. Look, it's blue. And once she stops and opens the door, it's gonna turn white. Does this bus go to Miami? Thank you. Look, 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 look. They have no idea, guys. None. They're all getting scanned up in there.
This Bill 36, it just became law. If a doctor speaks out about anything they feel is not right, it goes against the government narrative. Doesn't matter if it's vaccines, euthanasia, anything. They go to jail and get a $200,000 fine. A panel of specialists decide the fate of this doctor, no trial. Just straight to jail, $200,000 fine.
The world is burning. And people are not noticing, really noticing, who's behind the destruction we're witnessing. Covered in the clothing of women, wearing pearls and lipstick, are men. Men in high power positions impersonating women. Men who are psychopathic maniacs, living as women, doing the job and representing women. There's no representation for real women because the women in power are really men in drag. Can you see them yet? For years I've been pointing them out. Can you see them?
There is no difference between Jesus as a person and his word. You can't separate them. So that's my point here, is that you really can't be in unbelief as a believer, because believers believe. That's what they do. It's just a natural thing. So if you're having trouble believing, I'll tell you what it is. It's because you haven't placed your whole heart and your eyesight on the word of God. Because if you did, you would see that he is irresistible and you can trust him, because the truth of the word of God is revealed by the Spirit.
When I'm approached by a Christian who says, "Brother David, I'm just struggling so much. I can't get over this temptation. There's something in my nature that seems to be resisting God's goodness, and I just don't know what to do." I'll always ask them, "How is your devotion to the word?" "Well, I read it every now and then, but I'm not really consistent." You don't go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I just feel terrible. I haven't been sleeping, I haven't been eating, I haven't been drinking water, I haven't been exercising, and I've just not been taking care of myself, and I feel terrible. What do you think I should do?" He's gonna look at you and say, "Hey, go home and do the basics first, and if the problem persists, then we'll call in the specialist." The problem is, believers don't wanna do the basics because they're spiritually lazy. We need the word consistent.
And so we walk inside the courtroom, and it was at that moment, Sid, where I had the total surrender. That surrender came when I realized I did the crime, I should do the time. And I accepted, and that the only thing that I asked the Lord for was to take care of my son. And so in that moment, I told him, "Lord, I'll preach in jail. I'll tell people about what you've done for me and your goodness. Just take care of my baby." And so what felt like 15 hours was like 15 minutes. I see my attorney walking towards me. He's pale. He holds up a yellow piece of paper that changes the course of my life. And it says order of dismissal.
"What does this mean?"
"You're free."
And he says, "Christina, you're free to go."
You must tell us what happened when you walked out of the courtroom. What did you do?
I ran out of the courtroom, Sid. I ran. Jesus, I didn't want them to change their mind because I knew what I was looking at.
The
The following video was sent in by user Fantastic Power, who states that we are looking at a home video recording, which was captured by a young woman. She was investigating a mysterious case that is involving a pretty scary haunting, which is taking place within her new apartment. Apparently, the spirit of an evil entity is still residing in there, and the young woman foolishly held several rituals in which she opened the door even further to communicate with it. She stated that it always appeared for her when she was asleep. And since she loves to take a lot of naps, she started recording herself sleeping in different spots of the apartment. And one night, she states, she could capture this thing on video. Apparently, she was in some form of trance when it appeared. But in my opinion, we are just seeing an incredibly well done horror project. Nevertheless, it did cause nightmares for many people, and I find it is quite scary. What do you think?
Bobby Shmurda is a famous rapper. He's seen here doing prayer hands and looking up towards the heavens. Who's he praying to? Because he's keeping the secret of the biblical world about Freemasonry, most likely, and about fame, fortune, success, how the world really works. And everyone, he's doing the Uttara Bodhi Mudra with his hands there. A gesture that is anti-Christ. It's not for Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't like secret occult hand signs and symbols that seem to represent so-called enlightenment. It's the false light of Lucifer, who is the small g god of this world. We know him as Satan, the father of lies. He deceives the whole world. And this is the pride of humanity to pose like this. God bless you, everyone.
I have a testimony.
All right, let's hear it. What's it about?
It's my dad's healing testimony.
Wow. So what's it about? He was healed. Yes, what was the problem?
He was diagnosed with a blood clot in the right lung. So this started to affect even the way he walked. He started to limp because it hurt his back. And breathing problems, lots of pain. So me and my parents drove to Ohio from Toronto. It was a 6-hour drive, and my dad, sorry, the fire is so strong. So you
and your dad drove to where?
To Ohio. It was Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland. Ohio. Yes. Okay. That's right. Yeah. I met you there. That's right. Yes. Yeah. So you drove to Cleveland. Tell me a little bit more about the problem with the blood clot with your dad.
So he was diagnosed with this issue about maybe 3 or 4 days before the meeting. So he didn't tell me and my mom, but he was having pain on his right side for 2 weeks before then. So we eventually took him to the hospital. He couldn't go to work either for a few days because of the pain.
All right, so your dad had a blood clot in his lung, diagnosed a few days before the Cleveland meeting. You drove, mm-hmm. How many hours? 6 hours?
6 hours.
Wow.
Yes.
So what happened?
Just a quick note about the driving there. Usually my dad would drive most of the way, but this time he was with a pillow and a blanket in the back seat the whole time. And then we had to leave him in the hotel when we went out to get food because he was in pain. And so he rested for the meeting. And when we got to the meeting during the prayer line, when you came to pray for him, I remember you saying, "I see it coming out. I see it coming out. The blood clot. I see it coming out." And then he said, "I believe it's gone." And my dad fell back with the power of the Holy Spirit back onto his chair. And my mom says the presence was so strong. She's never felt the presence of God that strong, she says, before. And she was just standing there beside him as he was receiving prayer.
You believe that Jesus will do this?
Yes, 100%. Yes. Yes.
We believe, 100% we believe.
I can't help you. Just close your eyes. Only Jesus can do it. That's the Lord's healing power going into your lung. That's the Lord's healing power in your lung. That's the power of God going through your lung. Power of God going in through your lung. Just let him down in the seat if he wants to fall, okay? That's the blood clot coming out, coming out, coming out, blood clot coming out. I believe you're okay, sir. What did you feel happen?
Power of God is going through my body.
Do you have problems breathing or anything?
No, I don't have any problem. Just 2 days before doctor diagnosed me, we had planned to come over here.
I believe it's gone. Okay.
And so, I would love to testify for the glory of God. Just less than 2 weeks after that, about 12 days, we had a trip to Israel planned, and we were contemplating on canceling it because of the physical issue. But my dad said, no, I feel so much better. I know I can go. We don't have to cancel it. And I tell you that this man who had to be driven all the way to Ohio with his pillow in the back seat, couldn't go to work either. He walked all over Jerusalem, all over Israel. And for anyone who's been to Jerusalem, it's a lot of walking. He went underground, you know, the city of David. He went everywhere, all over Jerusalem and all over Israel. And today he's back to work. And since then, since the prayer, no pain at all. He's completely normal. It was a miracle.
You know, Sarah, we might have a song about his presence. Isn't his presence wonderful? You know, your mother was overcome by the power of God when your dad was healed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, Chantel, I see Jesus. There's not two of us here. Forget the gallery, you know, everyone else. There's not two of us here. There's three.
Yes.
The healer is here in person.
Wow.
And I see him standing in front of you, and he knows you.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says he knows us by name. He knows you, Chantel.
Whoa.
And Chantel, the Lord says, I'm hearing the Lord speaking to me that, well done for driving your dad all that way. Well done with your faith. Well done, Chantel.
But I can't.